Barbara, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. What does the Director of Financial and Quality Services do?
Well, actually, I have three different divisions under me. One of them is the income policy, which covers our cash assistance, food assistance, medical assistance. And then I also have the quality assurance, which are the people that read the cases and make sure we're doing things correctly. And then I also have the disability determinations services, which help determine eligibility for Social Security, SSI, and RSDI.
From what I understand, you folks are very short-staffed.
We are, especially out in the field.
Do you have hopes that with a new administration and new governor that you'll get some help?
We do. I mean, we have to hope that because our caseloads are just so astronomical right now that we, and you may be aware that we're doing an early retirement, so we have a lot of people that will be leaving for that. So we have a hard year ahead of us with hiring new people, getting them trained and up to speed, and covering the caseloads that we already have.
Have you had any conversations yet with Rick Snyder's new administration?
I have not. I suspect our director probably has, but I have not.
All right. Well, let's talk about the story I called you about. Michigan is about to shift food aid payments. Talk about that.
Well, this is a program that we started working on a little over a year ago, actually, and it's really probably been in the works since the spring of 2008. At that time, the legislature passed a law to have us do our food assistance twice a month instead of just once a month. Unfortunately, even as we were getting geared up to implement that law, the Farm Bill was issued, the newest Farm Bill, in the summer of 2008, which said you absolutely cannot do that. So that kind of put the kibosh on that. So since then, we've been trying to work on what's a way that we could extend these this schedule that would not be too hard on our clients and would be of a help to the business community. So we've been working on this particular plan since about August of 2009.
Tell us about the plan.
Well, what we're going to be doing is, starting in January, all of our recipients, except people whose ID recipient number ends in a zero, are going to change a day a month for up to 11 months. So, for instance, in January, the zeros never change. They stay on the third of the month. In January, everyone else is going to change a day. So instead of getting them on the third for the ones, they'll get it on the fourth, the twos will get it on the fifth, and so on. So they have to stretch their stamps an extra day. Then in February, it'll be, again, the 1s through 9s. Then in March, it'll be the 2s through 9s and so on. So people whose numbers end in a 9 will have it for the full 11 months. Theirs will change every month. So, for instance, let's say if your digit ends in a 4, you'll get yours in January, you'll get them on the 7th. In February, you'll get them on the 8th. In March, you'll get them on the 9th. In April, you'll get them on the 10th. And then in May and from then on, you'll get them on the 11th.
So you believe this will be a lot more efficient?
It'll be more efficient. It will also, it's not an efficiency for us, but it'll be a better thing for our clients and for the stores, because instead of trying to have to keep their staffing levels and their fresh food levels really high in those first 10 days of the month, they'll be able to stretch that out over a 21-day month or, you know, an issuance schedule. So for them, it will help them keep the fresh foods in stock for our clients all through the month instead of losing out on some at the end of the month.
Well, Michigan's food assistant recipients spent more than $2.1 billion in food purchases last year.
Yes.
I can only anticipate it's going to be the same next year.
I suspect it will. And in fact, we are anticipating that the caseload will still increase. And right now we're at about 940,000 households, and we're projecting that by the end of 2011 we'll be at 1 million households.
And I have read stories, especially from Lansing State Journal columnist John Schneider, who has many times talked about how there are Michigan State University students, other students, who are getting access to these funding for foods. What's your take on that?
Well, if people are eligible for food assistance, it shouldn't matter whether they're in school or out of school. There's very specific rules of what governs who can and cannot be eligible for assistance. If someone meets those rules, then they should be eligible to receive the assistance for it.
Well, the challenge comes from students who do have means and who are using the extra funds for other things other than food, whether it's alcohol or pleasure, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And there's a concern about that. How do you check up on who should be getting what and if they're using it in a good fashion?
Well, there's a couple of different things to think about here. And one is that their food assistance cannot be used for alcohol or beer or anything like that. It can only be used for food products. And there's an established list that's provided by the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, and the Food and Nutrition Services of what is considered food that can be purchased with food assistance. So they can't use that for other things. It has to be an approved thing. And then in order for them to be qualified for it, they have to report their income, and just like anyone else does. And we do have, within our agency, we have the Office of Inspector General, who goes out and looks at fraud and tries to be proactive on where that would be. They did a study last year, because this had come up at that time as well, last fall, so a year ago, did some random reads, but targeted at college students in various places, and they didn't find any more incidents of fraud there than they do anywhere else. You know, we try to avoid fraud at all costs, but sometimes, you know, people don't tell us everything that they should. Sometimes that happens, but we prosecute that then. If we come up with fraud, we reduce their benefits or close them, and then we recoup whatever they've received ineligibly. If it's enough money, we also prosecute them. So there are consequences to not telling us the truth on an application or not reporting everything that you should be reporting.
Barbara, when students apply for these food aid, do they list on their tuition as an income, or is it just a bill, if you will, like a rent payment?
Yeah, that does not count as income against them. We don't count educational income, so like if they have scholarships, that does not count as income towards it because it goes right to the school to pay for their tuition and fees.
How's morale with all the workers?
Well, I'm not out in the field right now, but I know that people are very concerned about doing their best for our clients, and it gets frustrating, but I think that we do a really good job of providing the benefits as best we can. It'll be interesting to see what happens after the retirement and see how people pick up the slack that's going to be left while we train new people. But we've done this twice before, and we've been successful both times. We have a really great work crew and who take a lot of pride in what they do.
How many people will be retiring?
You know, we don't have the final numbers yet. That they had till last Friday to rescind or to actually retire, and so it'll probably take a few days before we actually have a number on that.
Well, you have a crazy job, Barbara. I would not want that, but we enjoy having you on the program. And I tell you what, we've got to get you in studio. I've got a lot more questions, but time won't allow. Thanks so much for your time.
Sure. Have a great day.